Another amazing parashah reading, especially with Tamar and how she got her twins. And Tamar means victorious spirit. And even way back then, Tamar was victorious in being able to have the children that she wanted, even if it wasn't given the way she should have been given. She still pushed forward and allowed that to happen. So today I'm not going to speak on Tamar. I just opened up the wrong thing. I've titled my message today, Yehovah Meant It for Good. Yosef was taken, sold by his brothers, but Yehovah meant it for good. So much happens in each and every one of our lives and we wonder why. So many bad things happen to good people. We wonder why. What we have to do is trust Yah, because when we're part of his kingdom, Yehovah will mean it for good. We can look back on our lives and see what happened, how we handled it, and how things have changed. Knowing that Yehovah was in charge and how he worked it all out for us. But while we're going through those hard times and those dark times, Yehovah looks forward to what is coming, not what we're living through. And that's what Tamar did. She pushed herself forward into what was coming and not harbouring on the things that were back and what had happened in the past and how she'd lost the love of her life. So let's now pray before I go into the word. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you that your word is above all words. That you know our hearts, you know our minds, you know the situation of our lives. And I pray, Abba Father, that the word that I'm about to present will speak into the lives of our loved ones, of our hurting ones, and see how you have meant everything for good. We ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Can we go to slide 2, please, to Bereshit 37:18 to 28. In my message today, I'm going to go past what we've done because I couldn't stop as much as we did. I've gone on to some of next week's as well. So they spotted him in the distance, that is Yosef, before, this is his brothers, they spotted him in the distance before he had arrived where they were. They'd already plotted to kill him. They said to each other, look, this dreamer is coming. So come now, let's kill him, throw him into one of those water cisterns here. Then we'll say some wild animals devoured him. We'll see then what becomes of his dreams. But when Reuven heard this, he saved him from being destroyed by them. He said, we shouldn't take his life. Don't shed blood, Reuven said. Throw him into this cistern here in the wild, but don't lay hands on him yourself. He intended to rescue him from them later and restore him to his father. We can go to the next slide, please. In verse 23 it says, so it was that when Yosef arrived with his brothers, they stripped off his robe, the long sleeve robe he was wearing, and took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty without any water in it. Then they sat down to eat their meal, but as they looked up, they saw in front of them a caravan from the Yishma'elim coming from Gilad. their camels. These are actually their brothers. The sons of Ishmael were the sons of Hagar. And coming from Gilead, and their camels loaded with aromatic gum, healing resin and opium on their way to Egypt. Yehuda said to his brothers, "What advantage is it to us if we kill our brother and cover up his blood?" Next slide. "Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelim instead of putting him to death with our own hand. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh." His brothers paid attention to him, so when the Midianim merchants passed by, they drew and lifted Yosef out of the cistern and sold him for half a pound of silver shekels, or 20 silver shekels, depending on how you want to measure it, who took Yosef onto Egypt. Now, Yosef was hated by his brothers, and there were many reasons for this. First, they were jealous of him. Another was that he had dreams of what was to come, so they called him the dreamer. And thirdly, he had a place that they wanted. He was loved by his father more than all of them put together, which brings us the reason for their decision. It was pure jealousy. This was why they wanted to kill him. Now, when we look at Yosef, we see a type, or a typology as you might want to call it, of Yeshua HaMashiach, who was similarly hated, but not necessarily by his siblings. Yeshua's siblings didn't understand him when he worked on this earth, but he wasn't hated by them. But he was hated by the Judeans, or the Yehudim, who were his brothers. They were still his brothers. He was of the tribe of Yehuda, and his brothers from the tribe of Yehuda hated him. Can we go to slide 5, please? Luke 21. "All the people would rise with the dawn to come and hear him at the temple courts," Yeshua. Now, this caused the Kohanim and the Pharisees and the Sadducees to be jealous, because everyone was flocking to the temple to hear Yeshua, not them. And then when we get to 22 and verse 1, it says, "But the festival of Matzah, known as Pesach, was approaching, and the head Kohanim and the Torah teachers began trying to find some way to get rid of Yeshua, because they were afraid of the people." So they started plotting to kill Yeshua. Can you see the similarities? The head Kohanim and the Torah teachers feared the people going to Yeshua. And these were, as I said, the Perashim, or the Pharisees. They were the religious leaders of the day. They were actually wolves in sheep's clothing. Yosef's brothers tended sheep for their father. These religious leaders were meant to guide Israel or tend the sheep of their father. We are his sheep. Yeshua said that. Can we go to Matthew 21:33-39? It says, "Now listen to another parable. There was a farmer who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a pit for the wine press, and built a tower. Then he rented it to tenants and left. When harvest time came, he sent his servant to the tenants to collect his share of the crop. But the tenants seized his servant. This one they beat up, that one they killed, another they stoned. So he sent some other servants, more than the first group, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent them his son, saying, 'My son, they will respect.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, 'This is the heir. Let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they grabbed him, threw him out the vineyard, and killed him. The Kohanim hated Yeshua because people sought after him. In this parable, Yeshua is the heir, or the son. The crop to be harvested were the praises towards Yehovah, but the tenants stole the praise for themselves. And this is what the Perishim or the Pharisees were afraid of. They were concerned that Yeshua was receiving acknowledgement and praise doing the work of his father, Yehovah, instead of going to them. In the history of Israel, Yehovah's prophets, or the Nevi'im, were killed by the leaders of Israel when they came to direct the people towards Yehovah. And that's what the prophets came to do. They came to direct the people towards Yehovah. Wherever Yeshua was, large crowds gathered. The religious leaders had been using the people to make themselves look great. But they weren't happy about the crowds that were following Yeshua. They, like Joseph's brothers, were jealous. Yeshua called them hypocrites, since they told people to live certain ways and did not practice what they preached. It's no different if Yeshua walked this earth today and saw the rabbis of the Orthodox or even the Herodim Jews in Israel. They are hypocrites because they don't follow Torah. They don't practice what they preach. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Matityahu 15 and verse 1, it says, then some Parashim and Torah teachers from Yerushalayim came to Yeshua and asked him a question. And it goes on in verses 7 to 9. You hypocrites, Yeshayahu was right when he prophesied about you, says Yeshua. These people honour me with their lips, but with their hearts are far away from me. Their worship of me is useless, because they teach man-made rules as if they were doctrines. Man-made rules are traditions. These religious leaders hated Yeshua's truthfulness, and they hated his exposing them for who they truly were. When Yah had religious leaders lead Israel, he wanted them to take care of his people. But they didn't. They were too busy taking care of themselves. Can we go to the slide 8, please? Let's go back to Yosef. In Bereshit 37, 13 to 18, it says, Israel asked Yosef, aren't your brothers pasturing their sheep in Shechem? Shechem is what Beit Lechem or Bethlehem is today. Come, I will send you to them, he answered. Here I am. Here I am. What does Yeshua say? Here I am. He said to him, go now, see whether things are going well with your brothers and with the sheep, and bring word back to me. So he sent him away from the Hebron Valley and he went to Shechem, where a man found him wandering around in the countryside. And the man asked him, what are you looking for? I'm looking for my brothers, he answered. Tell me please, where are they pasturing the sheep? And the man said, they've left here because I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. Yosef went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Did he find the sheep there? It never says he found the sheep. They left the sheep behind and went to Dothan. That's when they spotted him in the distance, and before he had arrived where they were, they'd already plotted to kill him. Joseph's brothers were not doing their job either. They were supposed to be tending their flock, but they'd left them, which is another parallel between Joseph and Yeshua. Yehovah sent his son Yeshua to come to Israel and check the flock, but the leaders were not doing their job. They were not in Shechem. They were in Dothan instead. The men did not like Yeshua telling them that they were not doing their duties properly. They hated him. Because of their guilt, they wanted to kill him. Time passed. Yosef was sold for 20 pieces of silver, or a pound of silver, by his own brothers. Sin and attempts to get rid of him due to jealousy. Yeshua was sold by Yehuda, a brother, Ben Kiriot, for 30 pieces of silver. This was the lowest price for a slave, according to Shemot or Exodus 21:32. The scriptures say that Yosef went into Egypt and rose to the throne in power. The Yehudim orchestrated the killing of Yeshua by the Romans, and Yeshua rose from the dead to great power. Joseph's brothers were unaware that he had risen to such power. Today Yeshua is risen from the dead, and he is the King of Kings. The sad part is that the Yehudim, or Israelim, of today is blinded to it. Not only are they blinded, but believers in the state of Israel are the ones that are persecuted. They are dropped of their citizenship and even deported because of their belief. I read only this week of a 74-year-old woman whose mother was a Holocaust survivor. Having her citizenship cancelled and facing deportation because her father was a Christian and had her baptized as a baby. It was not even a conscious decision that she had done, but something her father had done for her. No crime was committed, just a sprinkling of water on a newborn. But her citizenship was revoked, even though she was born in Israel. To this very day. Can we go to slide 10, please? Romans 11, 7 to 10 says, what follows is that Israel has not attained the goal for which she is striving. The ones chosen have obtained it, but the rest have been made stone-like. Just as the Tanakh says, Elohim has given them a spirit of dullness, eyes that do not see and ears that do not hear, right down to the present day. And David says, King David says, let their dining table become for them a snare and a trap, a pitfall and a punishment. Let their eyes be darkened so that they can't see with their backs continually bent. Today, Israel cannot see that Yeshua is Lord or Adonai. Can we go to slide 11? This is about Yosef. In 39:2, Yehovah was with Yosef, and he became wealthy while he was in the household of his master, the Egyptian. And in Acts 2:23-24, it speaks of Yeshua. This man was arrested in accordance with Yehovah's predetermined plan and foreknowledgement, and through the agency of persons not bound by the Torah, you nailed him up on a stake and killed him. But Yehovah has raised him up and freed him from the suffering of death. It was impossible that death could keep its hold on him. When Yosef was in the land of Egypt, famine came to the region, and all of the land was without food. Pharaoh's the English word for Paro, was given a dream, but no one could interpret it except Yosef. Yosef interpreted his dream, as we all know, about the 7 good years of harvest and the 7 years of famine would come. And then Yosef instructed Paro he should save the food in the 7 good years. In effect, Yosef saved the world of that era. Without Yosef, many more would have died than did. While Yosef was in Egypt, he married a Gentile bride. Oops, a Gentile bride? That wouldn't go down well today, would it? Because his children would not be Jewish, and therefore they would not be able to claim the right of return to Israel. They'd get deported. But he had a Gentile bride. And in Bereshit 41:45 it says, Paro called Yosef by the name Zifnat Paaneach and gave him as his wife Osnat, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Then Yosef went out throughout all the land of Egypt. Yeshua was rejected by Israel, but he rose again to such glory and found a bride among the Goyim, or the Gentiles, who would believe upon him and be converted. And that is what the Messianic community, or the believers, are about. Most people in this room are Gentiles. Very few of us are born Jewish. Most are born Gentiles. It is the Gentiles that speak of Yeshua. It is the Gentiles that allow him to live today. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, it says, "For I am jealous for you with Yehovah's kind of jealousy, since I promised to present you as a pure virgin in marriage to your one husband, the Messiah." Yeshua, as the bridegroom, saved the world and found a bride. Yeshua died for us and made a way for all to be saved. Those who come to him will never thirst again. Those who come to him hunger for righteousness. Those who come to him shall be filled. All the people that in that region came into his kingdom, the kingdom of Yehovah, only by their belief in Yeshua HaMashiach, and only knowing that by receiving him, he would give them all the help they needed. In Bereshit, or Genesis 41:55, in the next slide, it says, "Then the whole land of Egypt started feeling the famine. The people cried to Paro for food, and Paro said to all the Egyptians, 'Go to Yosef and do what he tells you to do.'" In Yochanan John, or 1:14-16, it says, "The Word became a human being and lived with us. And we saw his Shekinah, the Shekinah of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." Yochanan witnessed concerning him when he cried out, "This is the man I was talking about when I said, 'The one coming after me has come to rank ahead of me, because he existed before me.' We have all received from his fullness, yes, grace upon grace." And then the next slide, in Philippians 4:19, it says, "Moreover, my Elohim will fill every need of yours according to his glorious wealth in union with the Messiah, Yeshua." And Colossians 1:19 says, "For it pleased Elohim to have his full being live in his Son." And back in Bereshit 41:56-57, "The famine was all over the earth that they knew at the time. But then Yosef opened up all the storehouses and sold food to the Egyptians, since the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, all countries came to Egypt to Yosef to buy grain, because the famine was severe throughout the earth." In the next slide, in Acts 17:24, "The Elohim who made the universe and everything in it, and who is Adonai, or Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in man-made temples." To me, a temple is a place of idol worship. It's a place where they usually worship idols. The only temple that didn't worship idols no longer exists. But every other temple that you want to go into, no matter what country it's in, it will be worshipping idols. In Acts 17:26-27, "From one man he made every," that's Yehovah, "made every nation living on the entire surface of the earth, and he fixed the limits of their territories and the periods when they would flourish. Elohim did this so that people would look for him and perhaps reach out and find him, although in fact he is not far from each one of us. Because when we know him, he's in us." When the brothers realized who Yosef was, they were in fear of him. But their fears were unfounded, because he helped them. They recognized a king to help them, and then he revealed himself to them. You all know the story, and we'll read it in the coming weeks, where Yosef sends for his father and all his family and all of their possessions to live in the land of Goshen in safety. But the guilt of Yosef's brothers selling him off as a slave obviously never left them. Look how they react after their father dies. In Bereshit Genesis 50:15, realizing that their father was dead, Yosef's brothers said, "Yosef may hate us now and pay us back in full for all the suffering we caused him." They'd been living in fear all of those years. How sad. How extremely sad that they lived in fear. In Bereshit 50 and verse 17, Yosef says, "I beg you now, please forgive your brothers crime and wickedness in doing you harm. So now we beg you, forgive the crime of the servants of the Elohim of your father." And Yosef wept when they spoke to him. He'd forgiven them a long, long time ago. He was weeping because they were still concerned about what had happened. So let's listen to his reply. "You meant to do me harm, but Yehovah meant it for good, so that it would come about as it is today, with many lives being saved. So don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." In this way he comforted them, speaking kindly to them. Similarly, the Yehudim, or Jews of today, will see the Messiah one day and worship him, not knowing it was the one they sold and killed. Yeshua's crucifixion was meant by Yehovah to occur in order to help save the world, in order to help a famine that was ahead. Yehovah had great concern for Yosef being put in prison for a few years. But Yah looks ahead and saw a famine. So when Joseph was sold by his brothers in order to have, it was necessary for that to happen, so that Yah could then show the miracle of allowing him to interpret Pharaoh's dream and then save many people, including their own brothers and his own brothers and fathers, who would have died in the land of Canaan because of lack of food if he hadn't have given that prophecy to Pharaoh. In the next slide, please. Zechariah 13 and verse 6. Excuse me. If someone asks him, "Then what are these gashes between your shoulders?" he will answer, "I got hurt at my friend's house." One day people will ask Yeshua, not knowing at first that it is Yeshua. They will weep and beg for mercy when they see the slashes on his back. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "He, Yeshua, is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, including those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the land will mourn him." Yes, amen. That's Revelation. And in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, he says, "And I will pour out on the house of David and on those living in Jerusalem a spirit of grace and prayer. And they will look to me whom they pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns not for an only son. And they will be in bitterness on his behalf like the bitterness for a firstborn son. When that day comes, there will be great mourning in Jerusalem, mourning like that for Hadad-Rimon in Megiddo Valley." Yeshua will likewise one day reveal himself to the Jews who slew him. And when they beg for mercy, knowing that they had him crucified as the Messiah, he will tell them that it was meant for good. Unless Yeshua had not been crucified, the famine of righteousness would not have been solved. People would not be saved. Many people are saved today, the Goyim or the Gentiles, because of Israel had Yeshua crucified. Shaul spoke of national Israel, as we do. That means all of the tribes that are spread throughout the whole world. The 12 tribes, not just the Jews. The Jews are one tribe of Yehuda. But there were 12 tribes, and they're spread throughout the world. And it was those whole 12 tribes that suffered because of what they did. In Romans 11, verses 11 and 12, the last slide. "In that case I say, isn't it that they have stumbled with the result that they have permanently fallen away? Heaven forbid, quite the contrary. It is by means of their stumbling that the deliverance has come to the Gentiles, for in order to provoke them to jealousy. Moreover, if their stumbling is bringing riches to the world, that is, if Israel's being placed temporarily in a condition less favoured than that of the Gentiles is bringing riches to the latter, how much greater riches will Israel in its fullness bring them?" And in Romans 11:15, it says, "For if they're casting Yeshua aside means reconciliation for the world, what will their accepting him mean? It will be life from the dead." Shaul taught that Jehovah meant it for good that Yeshua be crucified. Yah then cast away when they crucified Yeshua in order to reconcile the world. all nations to himself, not just the Jews. And through Acts 2:38's application of the death and burial and resurrection of Yeshua to their souls. And you all know the scripture, I'm sure. It's one of those that we learn off by heart. Turn from sin, return to Yehovah, and each of you be immersed on the authority of Yeshua the Messiah into forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. It is open for all. Excuse me. I know we're coming to the time of rededicating our lives. And I think this is a very opportune time. But if anyone wants to be immersed, let me know so that we can organise it. It's a time of making a decision. The feast of dedication is important, of dedicating oneself, rededicating oneself to Yeshua. So if you'd like to do it during this time of dedication, come back to the coast one day through the week, within the next couple of weeks. I'm sure that we can organise for a day that we can do it. So if you'd like to do that, please come and see me after the service. The Jews of the world, which is about 74 members of my own family, still cannot do that to this very day. They cannot accept Yeshua. At the mention of his name, my own family literally put their hands over their ears and block what I am saying. They will just shut me down with their hands over their ears. They don't want to hear a word. They shut the conversation down completely. And yet, if Yeshua was not sold and killed, we would not be in the Messianic community today. Yehovah meant it for good. Even family members don't understand that. But we still have to love them. We don't have to like what they do, but we love them. If only the Jews of today would come weeping for their sins they committed against Yehovah, or even be open enough to allow us to speak of Yeshua in their presence. I know that he would receive them. Salvation was always meant for the Jews first, then the Goyim, as they call the Gentiles. Let us continue to pray that they will see the parallel between Yosef and Yeshua so that they too can enter fully into his kingdom. So let us go to the remembrance service.